You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. What a crazy, crazy day yesterday was. We're going to talk through all of that, get through as many of these trade rumors we can, the trade or not trade that was or is going to be Marc Gasol. And then all that happened, and the Grizzlies also won last night. So we're going to get to all that and more on this edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Let's start with the game last night. The Grizzlies win 108-106 on a pair of free throws by Justin Holiday. Just a crazy, kind of wild night yesterday for the Grizzlies. Actually, you know what? We should probably start with Marc Gasol. Let's start with Marc Gasol because that kind of gives us a setup for the game last night. Marc Gasol reported by Shams. I'm not sure how you say his name, but Shams either way, that the discussions for Marc Gasol were heating up. And anytime you have something like that from Shams or Woj, it's usually pretty imminent. I mean, things like that, they don't really just put out like whatever they put out usually end up being the case. You know, other reporters put out, I'm hearing this, that. That's usually just like things that are either teams are putting out there or agents are putting out there. But usually when Shams or Shams or however you want to say his name, or Woj put something out there, it's usually true. And he put out there that the Grizzlies and Charlotte Hornets heats were talking or the talks were heating up. And then, little, I think it was probably like 5:30, maybe 5 o'clock around there yesterday afternoon before the game. And then Marc Gasol reportedly about 5:45 at JB Bickerstaff's pregame presser. He said that Marc Gasol would not play. Now that's usually, I mean, like that, this happened last week with Mike Conley, where he was reported that the Jazz had a rumor and then he didn't play. But there was nothing really to be made of that. So, on the surface, sure, but then when you get a look at, when you look finer, I mean, it's just, it's too coincidental not to realize that, okay, well, you have this report from Shams, and then you have this, now you have Marc Gasol sitting, and it's just kind of a whole thing. So I was actually on my way to the game when that's all this kind of was happening. I usually get to the game at like 6, and so I immediately got to the game, kind of looked around, did what I could do search-wise. Nobody was really around. So I went up and talked. I just went up and started writing. I started writing a couple of different articles, some of which are waiting to be published. Some are just kind of sitting there waiting on other stuff to break. But so I wrote a few things, and then Marc Gasol, you know, he came out like right as after the first quarter started, a huge standing ovation. And then he disappeared at halftime. And, you know, David Cobb was on this show yesterday. He said that, or he tweeted last night that Marc Gasol's stuff was there's a trash bag at his locker, and his number plate had been removed from the locker room. And so, you know, you couple that with the report and then, and the fact that Mark didn't play and that he had this huge standing ovation leaves at halftime, all this kind of coupled together. And then, you know, you probably have people, you know, thinking, okay, this is kind of it. They're probably announced something after halftime, maybe Wednesday morning. And then, you know, obviously that Charlotte trade is something that we've talked about on the show that I think everybody has talked about that makes the most sense for Charlotte and Marc Gasol and maybe getting some type of young player back. There was never any real framework that was reported by, you know, someone that is, I would consider a reputable in the know reporter kind of thing. Just people that, you know, people like me that cover the team that I don't really have a whole lot of inside sources, but I can speculate and guess with the best of them and kind of understand how things work. And so, yes, the Charlotte trade should be, you know, somewhere around Bismack Biyombo, Malik Monk and a first, or Bismack Biyombo, Malik Monk, Kaminsky and a first, or, Nick Batum, Malik Monk. I mean, I don't think you're getting Miles Bridges out of there at all. I think your best case scenario is Malik Monk. I did see one thing with MKG in there. MKG is the filler, as a salary filler, which I personally would love if you somehow were to manage to get MKG, Monk, and a first out of there. That would be really, really good. I consider that a win. I just don't think that's possible. I think you're really going to have to take on some really bad money, and I think that starts with Nick Batum and Bismack Biyombo. But beyond that, you know, we all kind of sit there and speculated before the game what the trade might be. Obviously, it was going to happen, and then and Marcus Hall again leaves, and then after the game, the Sporting News reported that. The deal, this is probably like right as I got home around 10 o'clock or so, they reported that that the deal was falling apart. It was really not a deal. They were not, you know, getting a deal together where they could probably complete a deal by the trade deadline. So that was a report. You know, I don't know if that's true. I don't know the person who reported it, so I don't know what they normally report. If it's, you know, I don't know what their track record is, I put it that way. So I don't know. But I do know that I think I'd still be surprised at this point if Marc Gasol isn't traded. Now, if he is, it is a complete disaster. It is an absolute disaster. And I'm going to save my rant for Thursday or for Friday's show, because if that's the case, if Marc Gasol is still on this team, it will have taken an extremely incompetent front office to keep him on this team. Extremely incompetent, like ridiculously incompetent. You can't go out there, tell a guy he's going to be shopped, get him all emotional, let him come to terms with it, then really kind of be okay with it. Let a deal leak out. Have him come clean out his locker and not play him in a game and then not trade him. That is incompetence on another level if that happens. Tyreke Evans last year, whatever. I mean, Tyreke Evans was a role player on a bad team and they held him out to try to make a deal, whatever. You're talking about literally a franchise cornerstone, the franchise player for this team that has been on this team for over a decade. Like you don't just do that to those type of people. That's something that other players take notice of. If you look at how Anthony Davis's dad, he said earlier this week that they didn't want to go to the Celtics. He didn't want Anthony to go to the Celtics because if they could do that, do what they did to Isaiah Thomas, they could do that to anybody. Like, people notice those type of things. And so I will save the majority of my rant for Friday's show because it's not done yet. And there's no need to get, worked up about nothing. Because I still believe that Mark will be moved. I just don't think it's not that I'm saying the report isn't true. I'd just be surprised if you get this far into it. And you can't get the deal done. Now, whether that's the Grizzlies asking for too much, whether they want, you know, I had seen a report where they don't want to take Bismack Biyombo's bad money. They want maybe different bad money. You know, to be honest with you, if that's the hangup, if the hangup is you don't want Bismack Biyombo's bad money, you want something else, and they want you to take. I mean, that's the dumbest hangup ever, because that money doesn't matter. Whether it's Bismack Biyombo, whether it's Nick Batum, that money doesn't matter. The money is it's a fragment of the deal. The deal is you're getting a young player and a pick. That's the deal. The deal doesn't matter about the bad money. The bad money doesn't even matter. The bad money is stupid. The bad money is whatever. They have player options. They're going to be on the team next year. The bad money is stupid. It is the smallest, most insignificant part of the deal that would blow my mind if that was really the hangup of the deal. Now, like I said, I've seen that. I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm just giving you guys information that I've seen. Now, I have heard from a very good person, source, whatever you want to call it, friend, that Marc Gasol is not happy about the way the situation has gone down at all. And I don't know if you can really blame him. I mean, being jerked around is be one thing, but or being told you're being chopped and probably going to be traded is one thing, but being jerked around is another. So, I can't blame him at all. I wouldn't be either. I mean, you have to understand that these guys are human beings. You know, like I know we talk about them as good or bad basketball players, as we talk about them in a very, very wide lens sometimes, but they are still people. Mark has kids. I mean, his kids go to school here. His kids have grown up here. I mean, when you're a father and you have a family and not knowing where you might have a job or not have a job or might have to pick up and move your family, those are all things that are very, very stressful and weigh on a person heavily. And no matter what you do as a basketball player or just a normal person going to your 9-to-5 job, those things are still things you have to think about. And so, yes, it does not surprise me. Marc Gasol is not happy at this point by the way, at the rate this is happening or the way things are going on. So as we sit here on Wednesday morning, we still don't know a lot about the Gasol trade. So I firmly believe the trade will get done. I think the trade will still get done, whether that's I think the Charlotte trade has been the most reported and most firm thing out there. So again, I'll still be surprised at this point if Marc Gasol's on the team after the deadline. That is kind of where I stand on it. Even after the report last night, after everything happened, even after the report was basically like they don't even think they can get a deal done by trade deadline. They're so far apart. Even after that, I'd be surprised. I think you get this far into it and just to go from, 100 back down to zero and holding him out, all the things that happened. I think it would surprise me a lot if you get to a point where you can't get a deal done. That all being said, the Grizzlies didn't have Marc Gasol last night. And we'll talk about that game coming up after the break. Welcome back to the show. The Grizzlies, as I mentioned, did not have Marc Gasol last night. Honestly, they didn't have a whole lot of people, period. They had 9 active players. Two of those were 2-way guys. One of those was a 10-day guy. The Grizzlies started Ivan Rabb, Jaren Jackson, Julian Washburn, Justin Holiday, and Mike Conley. And the young kids, I mean, they beat the brakes off the Timberwolves in the first quarter. I mean, 32-19 after one. And the young kids, the young bigs had a great, great game. Ivan Rabb, Jaren Jackson Jr. both look fantastic. Justin Holiday had a good game. Mike Conley had a good game. Ivan Rabb looked fantastic. I've been beating the Ivan Rabb drum for a long time now. I know you guys know that. You guys listen to the show. You guys know that. You guys are fans of Ivan Rabb. You guys have been asking me about Ivan Rabb. Well, finally, we're getting Ivan Rabb minutes. And it's the point now where Ivan Rabb has a double-double last night, 19-11, 33 minutes. You know, he's 8-for-10 from the field, and he has assist, a steal, and a block. I mean, it's hard to get better than that from a young kid who you are unsure of what you got in. Now, it is a time where Ivan Rabb and Jaren Jackson Jr. need to start the rest of the way, period, end of story. Considering you move Mark, which we still, as we discussed in the previous segment, we think is going to happen. Considering you've moved Mark, Ivan Rabb and Jaren Jackson Jr. are your starting two bigs the rest of the way. It's time to really find out what you got in Ivan Rabb, and then because he has a team option at the end of this year. The team option starts in the summer. So you really, this is the time right now to figure out what you have in Ivan Rabb. If you don't have anything, you don't pick up his option, everybody moves on, end of story. But if you have enough, where you think this warrants him being on the roster next year, because you're going to be bad next year again anyway, if you have enough to where you don't want to let him go yet, if you've seen potential there, then you can keep him for a much lower price, have him on the team next year, and continue to move on. But Ivan Rabb deserves the minutes consistently. You cannot play him 20 minutes here, 30 minutes here, 0 minutes here. I mean, you have to give them consistent minutes and see what you have. The defensive liabilities are a concern. Yes, he's not great on defense. But if he can show enough consistent offense and rebounding, sometimes you can overcome that. Look at Jamaica Green. Jamaica Green is not a plus defender, but to be on the court, he can score the ball and he can rebound. And it's sometimes that's enough to overcome those deficiencies. I would like to see Ivan Rabb take that jump, mid-range jumper he has, and move, 4 feet behind the, back, go behind the 3-point line and really, really stretch that shot a little bit more, really up his offensive game. If he can somehow develop a 3-point shot, I think you're in the business of saying, okay, he can deserve minutes on a team every night. Is Ivan Rabb a starter in the NBA? I don't think so. I don't think his long-term value is a starter. I think his long-term value is probably a role player, but a consistent role player every night that's getting 20 to 25 minutes every single night. And so, but you need those guys too. You just as much as you need stars and you need starting people every single night, you also need the role players who are consistent for you every single night that you can count on off the bench, that you know what you're going to get. And good teams usually have that. Good teams usually have a decent to good bench from a few guys there. They know what they're going to get night in and night out and on a consistent basis. And so, I think that's probably Ivan Rad's long-term value as a role player off the bench. But I think you also need those type of players as well. Jaren Jackson Jr. looked amazing. 38 minutes, 4 from 7 from 3, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, steal, 2 blocks, 6 for 14 from the field. Just really, really good all around. Was doing some impressive things. And that's what we talked about on the show Monday Mailbag. Someone asked a question about what's there to look forward to. This is it right here. This is it. They're going to be games. Now, ideally you're probably not going to have Mike Conley on this team next week. And so there are going to be games you're going to lose. It's going to be frustrating because they're going to play well and then it's going to all fall apart. But young players, that's just what happens sometimes. They lose focus and it's hard to get back on track. You saw that a little bit last night in some spots of the game. In that third, fourth quarter, they let Luol Deng get open for too many threes. They let Gorgui Dieng also get open. I mean, there was just some times where they just were just not focused on defense and they just let things lapse. And so, those are gonna happen. And Mike Conley had a huge game, had a fantastic game. 25 points, 9 assists, 3 steals, 3 rebounds, 6 for 11 from 3, and 8 from 22 from the field. So if you take away Mike Conley, this team, and you're missing a lot. And so, those type of players obviously help you win games. And so there's gonna be a lot of up and down is what I'm trying to get at with these young guys. If that's all you have and you're starting to rebuild and you have potential young players, it's a lot of up and down with young players. And so you're going to see some games where they get out starting fast because they're excited and the adrenaline's out there, and then they lose focus sometime in the fourth quarter and they let the game slip away. Like, learning how to win in the NBA is a real thing for young players. Like, learning how to close games is a very, very real thing. And so you'll see that. That's going to happen. And Justin Holiday has 17 points. He's 1 for 2 from 3. He actually hit the game-winning free throws. He has 9 rebounds as well, 2 assists, 2 steals. So are you going to get 17 and 9 from Justin Holiday every night? Are you going to get 19 and 11 from Ivan Rabb every night? Probably not, but you don't really know what you have until you know. We've never, that's probably the best Justin Holiday game we've seen as a Grizzly. So I'm not sure that's going to happen every night. And so there's going to be games you're going to lose because of that, but there are going to be other young players that they get back in some of these deals that, like a Malik Monk or someone like that, that you, it'd still be exciting to watch because those guys might be able to help you more so than Justin Holiday. So, those are the type of things they're going to look forward to. This is kind of what you're going to see kind of going forward of this roster, what you can go to kind of look forward to. And yes, there are going to be some frustrating nights, but there are also going to be some exciting nights. But to be able to see what Jaren Jackson can do as the leader of this offense, we saw a little bit of a glimmer of that last night. They were really running things to him, and he was doing some pretty special things. I think he'll be able to take any center off the dribble in the league next year. Like, literally any center in the league, I think he'll be able to take off the dribble easily. Provided they don't double team him on the catch or on the spin. Provided they don't double team him, I think Jaren Jackson Jr. will be able to take anybody off the dribble center wise next year. He's already doing that close to right now, and it's only going to get better. Imagine what he's going to be in year four. It's going to be pretty exciting. So the Grizzlies get another win. This is the goal we talked about yesterday on this show, on the Tuesday episode. The goal should still be giving away that pick. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not a great goal to have. As I've talked about, you know, you should always have a reward at the end of the year, whether that's if you're bad or good, you should always have a reward. This doesn't really feel like that. This feels like a middle of the road, you know, crap ass reward of just giving the pick away and just, you know, making sure that they don't steal our riches next year and the year after that. So, it's not a sexy goal, but it is a goal that should be the Grizzlies nonetheless. And they inch closer back towards that ninth spot that will convey that Boston pick at the end of this year. So stay with me. We'll talk about a little bit more of the trade rumors coming up after the break. So the only trade rumors we didn't talk about after in that first segment, we went through all the Marc Gasol stuff. There were some some updated trade rumors from. I still think the Pistons are in the Pistons and the Jazz are very much in the running for Mike Conley. They are still very interested, and. There's something that I think they're just waiting on the Grizzlies. And so, I think the Grizzlies are waiting to see if the offers get better. But the Utah Jazz still offer of Ricky Rubio in a 2019 first, that the Detroit Pistons offers like Reggie Jackson and a first, maybe Luke Kennard, whatever you think about Luke Kennard, young kid, not sure if he's an actual NBA player, but, again, he's a prospect nonetheless. He doesn't excite me, but also under the understanding that, you know, you have to, sometimes you take back prospects that are just that, they're just prospects. And so, they might be good. They might be bad. Again, Luke Kennard doesn't excite me, but you know, if that's what you get in that situation, I guess it's better than nothing. But I think I think Mike Conley can get better than Luke Kennard in a first. Reggie Jackson's the salary filler here. Reggie Jackson is not Mike Conley. Let's put it that way. He's a salary filler here. The deal would be a first round pick and Luke Kennard, which I think Mike Conley is better than that. This also came out yesterday. Toronto Raptors. That was weird that they had some dialogue with the Raptors. Offering Kyle Lowry and Valanciunas for Conley and Marc Gasol. That was weird. That kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if that's a deal. It's not a deal I would do because it's a deal that it's opposite of everything we've talked about. Everything we've talked about is get a young pick, get a young player, take on bad money, and try to rebuild for the future. Taking Valanciunas and Kyle Lowry is a win now move. It is a very much a win now, try to make this work right now move, because those guys are, while they're good players, they're not young. You know exactly what they are and you know exactly what they're going to be. It is very much a move this front office would make, which is kind of scary that got reported. It is very much a Chris Wallace move. If you look at him early in the year, he threw away two players and two firsts for Justin Holiday to try to win now, try to salvage what he could with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. And everybody has long said that, I don't think Chris Wallace is making the decision this year. He's not his decision to make. It's going to be Robert Pera's decision to make. Well, that may be true. It may be true that it's Robert Pera's decision to make. And I probably believe that as well. But Chris Wallace is still going to have a chance to lobby for his deal. Chris Wallace still has a direct line to Robert Pera And it's not like Robert Parrott doesn't listen to him. It's not like Robert Parrott's like, oh man, F off. No way, dude. This is terrible. If that was the case, he'd have just fired him last year. He clearly values his opinion, values something that Chris Wallace brings to the table, or else he still wouldn't be working there. So Parrott values what Chris has to say. And so if it is a deal that it looks like a Chris Wallace deal, that should still concern you to a certain level, because Chris Wallace is still going to have every opportunity to lobby and to sell Parrott on the idea of whatever he's thinking about. Now, I still think the ultimate decision will probably lie with Parrott, for good or bad. Whatever you think about that, if you want a non-basketball guy making basketball decisions, whatever you think about that, I think it'll lie with Robert Parrott. But, you know, the idea that Chris Wallace can't screw this up, or the idea that Chris Wallace has nothing to do with it, it's not true. It's just not true. Logically and with reason, it's just not true. Chris Wallace will still have a direct line to Robert Parrott, will still have every opportunity to sell whatever shit trade he wants to Robert Parrott. So that was my first reaction when I saw the report. I don't know if I put a lot of stock into it. I don't think the Grizzlies are going to do that, but it was out there, so I felt like we should mention it. Again, Detroit's still interested in Mike Conley. Those are the two teams that's only really the ones that are still really out there for Mike Conley, which is Detroit and the Utah trade. There's not much different than the last time we spoke about that. You know, you don't have to trade Mike Conley. You know, it's not something you have to do. I think Mike Conley can play with anybody. I think I've said that on this show. He's very good and has a lot of very good basketball years left. A point guard spot is one you can play for a long time, a guard spot, especially if you have a good jump shot. Jump shots usually are some of the last things to go in a player's career. So while I understand that you don't have to trade Mike, if you trade Mark, I think it's reasonable that you trade Mike as well. Only if for the fact that you're doing Mike a favor. I mean, do you really want Mike Conley playing on a rebuild the last few years of his career? Does he really want that? Probably not. Players want to win. I know the city means a lot to Mike. The city means a lot to Mark. But those guys want to win. And I think if you trade Mark, I think it's only reasonable that you trade Mike. But also understand that you don't have to trade Mike. I mean, it's not something you have to do. I think trading Mark is something that I think you kind of, at this point, you have to do. I think that ship has sailed. He's not a player that he even close to what, you know, once was. And a healthy Mike and Mark don't equal the playoffs anymore. But again, if you deal Mark, I think it's only right just to do right by Mike to deal Mike. If only for the fact that he doesn't want to be on a crap-ass team for the rest of his career. So, again, those are the rumors and the roundup that as much as we have right now, I'll still continue to monitor everything today. If a deal happens later today, we'll come back with an emergency podcast. We'll talk about the deal as it's happening. I'm toying with the idea of a live show tomorrow for trade deadline during the day. So if you guys like that idea, like a Periscope live show, the podcast will still be in regular podcast form. We'll still record it like normal. But if you like that idea, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know if that's a cool idea to you or not. We'll just take questions and kind of talk through the show as it's happening. But if you guys like that idea, let me know. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. If you have a second, please leave a review in iTunes. Please rate the podcast in iTunes. It really helps the show and the rankings for iTunes. If you're not on iTunes, you can find the podcast on Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. It's on every platform. Or if you don't know where to go, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.